kiss your lips a thousand times, and more times than I can count, I have called you mine. You have stood by me in my
life from New York City. It's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. Lots to share. We're going to talk about a superfood extract that is good for your heart, how protection for the skin during a cancer radiotherapy, and it's from natural product, traumatic brain injury-induced oxidative stress, like a stroke, can be reduced by melatonin, that's important, and how a healthy lifestyle may buffer against stress-related cell aging. Well, when so many people are under stress, we need to know that, and a lot more on health and healing. No guest today. Today is our commentary day. The Drug That Can Make You Kill by Martha Rosenberg. Who's behind the painkiller epidemic? Big Pharma, of course. Reducing water use by changing your diet, from medical news, mainstream medicine's now suggesting it. Doomsday trigger for mega drought, Tom Hartman. What do standardized educational tests actually test? That's a big one, and no one's talking about it. We will. Marion Brady. And then from Fred Bauman, I have some interesting insights about psychiatry. I'll share those. From ALEC, you know, the American Legislative Exchange Council, representing the top 300 mega corporations and against the public interest, they're using Jeffersonian Project to push for an amendment to the Constitution. Wonder who that's going to benefit. Well, they used an agriterrorism concept to tell a small town in Pennsylvania, you're a threat. Shut down your seed library. Seed library? You mean where people can go in and get some seeds? Yeah. And now that's considered terrorism? Yes. America's New Harvest of Shame by Ohio Congresswoman Marcy Kaptur visited the tobacco fields of North Carolina, and what she saw there should concern all of Americans. U.S. cities crack down on homeless people. Quote, it's close to ethnic cleansing, David Usborn from The Independent. Why is it that someone in England has to be writing about our humanity to the homeless in this country? What does it tell us about we the people? Something very important. The lead developer of the human papilloma vaccine comes clean. Warns parents and young girls, it's all a deadly scam. Sleuth Journal. Water costs skyrocket 1,000% where half the nation's fruits and vegetables and nuts grow. What does that mean? And I'll give you reasons why to avoid farm salmon. Oh, and a guy went into a hospital, just had a little problem with his finger. He had cut it and it hadn't really healed. They didn't do anything. They didn't do stitches. But they gave him a bill. This is in New Jersey. Let me think. How many people would guess what it would cost for someone, just a nurse, to look at your finger, not do anything, put a Band-Aid on it, and a little cream? If you know how much they charge this man for that little visit, call us at 888-874-4888. I'd like to see how accurate you are. As you see, we have so much to cover, all important issues, none of which are covered in the mainstream media. Let's begin. There is a super fruit. I first had it when I was down in Brazil. They pronounce it three different ways, and we add our own little enunciation issue, A-C-A-I, S-I, or A-C-A-I. I've heard it in Brazil both ways. I had it as a drink. It was an extremely strong drink, a little sweet pungent, and they said, you don't want a lot of it because this will really clean you out. And they use it all the time. Well, here's the latest research on this wonderful superfood. This was done at the Federal University of Rio de Janeiro and published in the British Medical Complementary and Alternative Journal. Quote, extracts from the seeds of the berry may protect hearts against exercise intolerance and dysfunction. That is the latest research. So if you want to have a healthier heart, this superfood can help. And we all know that we are having problems. Most people have problems with their hearts. Let's say that you want to go in and you have to get some radiation therapy for whatever reason. You know that radiotherapy for cancer involves exposing the patient or their tumor more directly to ionizing radiation like gamma rays or x-rays. Now, the radiation damage that the cancer cells irreparably cause is just one of the byproducts of getting radiation. Unfortunately, such radiation is also harmful to healthy tissue, particularly the skin over the site of the tumor, which is then at risk of hair loss, dermatological problems, and even skin cancer. And as such, this is important. This is in the International Journal of Low Radiation. This is done at the Nagasaki University in Nagasaki, Japan, and published in a peer-reviewed journal. It says, natural protection from natural products, and it's caffeic acid and rosmarinic acid and transacinamic acids, and they use these natural extracts, and it helped the skin, especially where the skin had been exposed to radiation. So my hope is that someone will see within the medical community that to have a non-toxic concentration and to be able to use it of all the millions of Americans who are getting radiation on their skin would be terrific. So the science is there. It shows protection, and that's a good thing. Think of the people who've had a stroke. That is literally a traumatic brain injury, and it creates massive oxidative stress. Of course, hyperbaric oxygen therapy is very important, but according to the University of Suleiman in Demir, Turkey, that if you use melatonin, you can make a difference. Why? How's it work? Well, it's simple. We know that traumatic brain injury can cause post-traumatic neurodegenerations with an increase in what is called reactive oxygen species and reaction species mediated lipid peroxidation. I mean, you have all these free radicals in the brain, and they're going to alter the fat of the brain, and most of the brain is fat. So melatonin, which is a non-enzymatic antioxidant and neuroprotective agent, and that's what comes out at night from the pineal gland when we sleep. And that's why having a good night's sleep is so important for longevity and for your health and your immune system. Well, this melatonin helps counteract this, and that's very important. Therefore, they did this research finding that melatonin can make a difference in helping reduce traumatic brain injury. So from a stroke, melatonin, or any form of traumatic brain injury. From the University of California, San Francisco, a new study is the first to show that while the impact of life stressors accumulate over time and accelerate cellular aging, these negative effects may be reduced substantially by maintaining a healthy diet, exercising, and sleeping well. This is so important. Quote, and this was published in the journal Molecular Psychiatry. The study participants who exercised, slept well, and ate well had less telomere shortening than the ones who didn't maintain healthy lifestyles, even when they had similar levels of stress. It's very important that we promote healthy living, especially under circumstances of typical experiences of life stressors like death, caregiving, and job loss. Well, just imagine that you have a job loss and you're having to take care of a parent or sibling or someone who is sick, can't take care of themselves, and you're not healthy. Whoa, that's where you die early. So this audience knows that telomeres are the protective caps at the end of chromosomes that affect how quickly cells age. Everything I share with you on this program in a constructive way is meant to allow your telomeres to protect your chromosomes, to allow a longer transition time and therefore less shortening, which quite simply extends the lifespan of those cells. And that's why when you cheat, you're only killing yourself. You're shortening your life. That's why I always encourage you to be strong and disciplined instead of the kind of, well, it doesn't matter. Well, I don't feel good. I'm going to eat something I shouldn't, but I don't feel good. You know, well, then you're going to feel worse when you realize every time you had the French fries, the hot dogs, the hamburgers, the pizzas, the Coke, the cola, you are shortening your lifespan. And study after study shows that. So that's good news that these women, 239 postmenopausal women, were able to be healthier after that 1 year because of this. Now, interestingly, I'm presenting a scientific paper, one of the keynote speakers, in December in Las Vegas to a convention of thousands. I'm told it'll be around 7,000 scientists on aging based upon my menopausal study. I did the first, and I just didn't show an improvement in overall health. We reversed all the symptoms of menopause. So when they say that this is the first study, oh, they're wrong. It's not the first study. And we did the first study, but mine was far stricter. And hopefully this information will get out now. Running reduces the risk of death regardless of duration of speed and speed. This is from Iowa State University. Quote, running 5 minutes daily can reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease-related death. How about that? This was published in the American Journal of American College of Cardiology. So just running a few minutes each day, or even at slow speeds, may significantly reduce your risk of dying from cardiovascular disease compared to someone who doesn't run. Now, you know, listening to this program, that exercise is well established as a way to prevent heart disease and its component of an overall healthy lifestyle. And researchers studied 55,000 adults between 18 and 100 for 15 years. This is a part of the Aerobics Center longitudinal study. And this is what they found. So fast or slow, get on the track, get on the road, and you can live a longer life. That's the latest on health and healing. We have a lot on the environment. Let's begin. And by the way, I want to welcome the people in 166 different countries. I saw some of the analytics of how many people are listening in India. Tens of thousands, 92,000. How many in the United Kingdom? Over 23,000. All across the globe, people are listening right now. And thank you for sharing. On my Facebook, I have thousands of people who contribute material. And as long as it's not offensive, as long as it doesn't engage in personal attack, fine. I put up ones that hopefully motivate people, get them to smile, laugh, appreciate the day. I love nature ones, and I love ones with animals, showing how unique and wonderful and blessed animals are and that we are blessed to have them in our lives. So I show those. And today I put up one where there was, you can see this, really neat, a lion doing what lions do and have to do to survive, went after a herd of zebras, grabbed one around the neck as they do, and was waiting for it to die. But this zebra decided not to die and started kicking and pulling. And it went on for 5 minutes. The zebra broke free. And you think the caption is, never give up. Because in life, how many times have we been under such stress or faced with loss or feeling helpless or overwhelmed and we simply give up? And I just thought it would be a nice way to start today with impossible odds of survival, and this survived. You know, and I think we have to remind ourselves of our choices in life. From our environmental segment, the reasons to avoid farmed salmon. We thank Andrew Martin, The Natural Blaze, for sharing this. Alexandra Morton is an independent biologist and up in British Columbia, and he studied the wild orca, the killer whales. And Morton made home in the Echo Bay, a community without roads, no electricity, no stores. And in 1987, salmon farms moved into the region. At first, Morton thought they were a good idea, but within a few years, she changed her mind, and because she started to see the impact in the region. And since then, Alexandria Morton has published extensively on the impact of salmon farms. So we thank Alexandria Morton for being very conscientious. And by the way, she grew up believing that, you know, in the beneficial and humanitarian aspects of the fish farms. The industry has grown tremendously. Remember, it started in Norway with 27 salmon farms. Here's what people have to understand. Farmed salmon eat wild fish, ground up and compressed into food pellets. However, these pellets are soaked with fish oil, causing farmed salmon to be much fatter than wild salmon. You can recognize farmed salmon by the solid white bars of fat that streak through the flesh of farmed salmon. Many toxins bind to fat, so the more fat in the product, the greater the potential for bioaccumulated toxins. And many of the worst pollutants on earth bind to fat. When we eat certain fats, these toxins, as we've heard many times, get into our body and attach to our cells. Norwegian farm salmon. In 2013, a Norwegian pediatrician went to public with concerns that Norwegian farm salmon contain dangerous levels of toxins that exposed a threat to the health of babies. And these POPs, as they're called, toxins, accumulate in farm salmon fat, transferring to people who eat it. Many scientific articles have been published on the negative effects of POPs on children related to autism, ADHD, reduced cognitive function, and disruptions in both the endocrine and immune systems. And 94% of POPs, these toxins that accumulate in women, are released during pregnancy and through nursing their babies. And farm salmon have one of the highest POP levels in the food in the world. So, very toxic. Next, they have an impact on seals and whales. Harbor seals have learned how to catch farm salmon. The large fatty fish can be spooked into diving to the bottom of the net pens. With tons of fish pressed heavily against the net floor, seals bite and suck the soft farm flesh through the net without even tearing the net. And despite the fact that gunfire over water is prohibited in British Columbia, fisheries and Oceans Canada hands out permits and thousands of seals have been shot. However, guns were not enough. In 1993, a new anti-seal measure was introduced called acoustic harassment to cause pain to seals' ears. These devices, dubbed acoustic brooms by whale researcher Dr. Lean, broadcast 198 decibel sound. That's, wow. In New York City, I measured it about 2 years ago. It was around 88 on Broadway near our office. This is like being right beside a jet taking off. So the acoustic harassment devices on salmon farms drove the resident orca whales out of the Broughton Archipelago, and that disrupted the whole fishing. And then pollution. Salmon farms are one of the few farms that never shovel their manure. Tons of waste spews daily per farm into fresh water. They are very privileged in this regard, as the farms are roughly 7 tons of feed daily for the approximately 600,000 fish per farm. Canada does not generally allow industrial farms to pour raw sewage into the water or ocean, and the industry counters that it is just fish manure. Well, that's not accurate. Increasingly, farm salmon are fed grains, chicken, pig parts, fish from different oceans, chemicals to color their flesh, delousing drugs, antibiotics, and vaccinations. So the next time you sit down and have your salmon, if it's farm-raised, just imagine you're having delousing drugs, antibiotics, vaccinations, chemicals, pig parts, chicken parts, all in that piece of fish. So all those are reasons not to have salmon. From our public health segment today, Dr. Diane Harper, you will see in my latest film, The Silent Epidemic. And it's a different film. I'd already done Vaccine Nation, and I did Autism Made in the USA. What I wanted to do in The Silent Epidemic was simply to ask two questions. That's all. Are vaccines safe? If so, where's the proof? And are they effective? If so, where's the proof? I did not have, as you will see, any alternative practitioners, clinicians, scientists, or academics involved. Every one of the 40 people that I filmed were all orthodox, mainstream immunologists, toxicologists, vaccinologists. These were the heart and soul of the vaccine industry. Every single one told me the same thing when I would not allow them to spin. Can you prove that a vaccine is safe based upon a double-blind, placebo-controlled study? The answer, no. Are you using mathematical models that can be completely subjective and off by multiple measures? Yes. Is it reasonable, then, when you show an antibody, that you cannot prove that that antibody was caused by the vaccine? True. So the fact that you have an antibody doesn't mean it's protective. True. And what was the example I used? HIV. If HIV is supposed to be the ultimate killing disease, they never find the HIV in someone's body. They measure antibodies for HIV. So isn't that ironic that what is supposed to protect you, and that's the reason you get a vaccine, antibodies to the disease, with HIV, they turn science upside down and says, oh, but the antibody actually shows you're going to die of the disease. The contradictions within the AIDS research are palpable. I've dealt with that on hundreds of shows, a textbook, 5 award-winning films. So I won't go back there today. So no matter what I asked them, they confirmed. Now, for those of you who were at the premieres in New York, Los Angeles, at the Ethical Culture Center, at Lowe's Theater, you saw each one of these people, in effect, deconstruct the myth of vaccine safety and efficacy. One of the people in the film was Diane Harper. Why? Because she's a mainstream orthodox scientist, and it was her research on the human papillomavirus that created the vaccine from which Gardasil and Cervarix have emerged. There's never been a vaccine that we've had as many adverse effects reported as the human papillomavirus vaccine. I've written a dozen articles on the fraud of Gardasil. You can go to those articles and read them for yourself. They are all scientifically referenced. Here is an excerpt from a story by Sarah Kane involving Dr. Harper. because Dr. Harper made a very surprising confession at the Fourth International Convergence on Vaccination, which took place in Reston, Virginia. Her speech was originally intended to promote the benefits of vaccines, but something happened. She did a 180-degree turn when she chose to clean her conscience about the deadly vaccines so she could, quote, according to her, could sleep at night. Let me report this, because no other media in America, none, has this. Dr. Harper explained in her presentation that the cervical cancer risk in the United States is already extremely low, and the vaccinations are unlikely to have any effect upon the rate of cervical cancer in the United States. In fact, 70% of all human papillomaviruses infections resolve themselves without any treatment in a year, and the number rises well over 90% in 2 years. Harper also mentioned the safety angle. All trials of the vaccines were done on children ages 15 and above, despite them currently being marketed for 9-year-olds. So far, 15,037 girls have reported adverse side effects from Gardasil, along with the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, and this number only reflects parents who underwent the hurdles required for reporting adverse reactions. At the time of the writing, 44 girls are officially known to have died from these vaccines. The reported side effects including paralysis lasting years or permanently, sometimes eventually causing suffocation, plus lupus, seizures, blood clots, and blood-brain inflammation. Parents are usually not made aware of these risks. Dr. Harper, the vaccine developer, claimed that she was speaking out so that she might finally be able to sleep at night. About 8 in every 10 women who have been sexually active will have human papillomavirus at some stage of their life, Harper says. Quote, normally there are no symptoms, and in 98% of the cases it will clear by itself. But in those cases where it doesn't and isn't treated, it can lead to precancerous cells, which can develop into cervical cancer. End quote. Now, although these two vaccines are marketed as protection against cervical cancer, this claim is purely hypothetical. Studies have proven, quote, there is no demonstrated relationship between the condition being vaccinated for and the rare cancers that the vaccine might prevent, but it is marketed to do that nonetheless. In fact, there is no actual evidence that the vaccine can prevent any cancer. Let me repeat that for this audience. And I know we have people from the vaccine industry who monitor every show. I know that you have even yesterday, and I took you down for doing it. You write in and say, oh, this is misinformation on vaccine. We know the game. We know who you are. Just so my audience realizes, when you see on my Facebook people attacking people on vaccines, these are the people sponsored and paid for by the vaccine manufacturers. They've set up front groups. They hire people that all they do every day is anyone who speaks out against vaccines, any group, any parent, any person, any article, they immediately attack it using lies and misinformation, but it confuses people. We're aware of them, and I have a new article naming by name how much money they've gotten. Yes, we know who you are. And yes, we know who's paid you. And yes, you will be exposed. And we will have this out probably next week. In any case, from the manufacturer's own admissions, the vaccine only works on 4 out of 40 of the specific venereal diseases that dies on its own in a relatively short period. But let me repeat this. Quote, there is no actual evidence that the vaccine can prevent any cancer. And yet that is how it's marketed. That's why states are making it mandatory. But there's no proof of it. None. And that is from her quote. Since coming forward with the truth about the devastating consequences of the fraudulent human papillomavirus vaccine, Dr. Harper has been victimized by a relentless campaign attempting to discredit the validity of her claims. Dr. Harper was even misquoted by the British tabloid The Sunday Express, which printed a false story loaded with fabricated quotations attributed to Harper. In an interview with The Guardian, Harper makes it very clear about what exactly she said in order to protect herself from potential lawsuit. In an interview with CBS News, Harper clarifies her position and once again makes it crystal clear just how devastating the vaccine is. Quote from Diane Harper, the developer of the vaccine. If we vaccinate 11-year-olds and the protection doesn't last, we put them at harm from side effects, small but real, but no benefit. The benefit to public health is nothing. There is no reduction in cervical cancers. They are just postponed unless the protection lasts for at least 15 years. And over 70% of all sexually active females of all ages are vaccinated. End quote. So there you have it. So the next time you hear one of these people who are promoting vaccines because they're paid to, or you have some idiot who is a legislator, aren't they all? And when you hear a government agency say that we must do something, they're technocrats and bureaucrats, and they have about as much usefulness as a metastasized brain tumor. They are wrong, because the person who invented it is now completely deconstructing it. Let me repeat again. Quote from Dr. Harper on CBS News. If we vaccinate 11-year-olds and the protection doesn't last, we've put them at harm for side effects, small, real, but for no benefit. The benefit to public health is nothing. There is no reduction in cervical cancers. Well, I think that says it all, doesn't it? Just remember that. Next up, and think before you do something. What you ultimately do is your business, but at least know why. Paula from Florida. Paula said $5,000 is what it cost for this man who just cut his finger to go in and have it bandaged and cleaned. Okay. Willie from Washington. Willie, I don't see an amount there. Is Willie on the line? If he's on the line, we'll say hello to him. Let him guess. Do we have Willie there? Willie hung up. Okay. Well, if any of you think you can, here's the story. A gentleman from Bayonne, New Jersey, accidentally cut his finger with the claw end of a hammer. He says he waited a few days for it to heal, but the cut didn't seem to be closing, so he went to the Bayonne Medical Center emergency room to ask whether he should have it stitched. The nurse practitioner determined no stitches were necessary. There was no x-ray either. Instead, he got a bill for the emergency room visit, and he was charged $180 for a tetanus shot that he didn't need, $242 for sterile supplies, that's about cost about a dollar a bag, and $8 for some antibacterial ointment, and then hundreds of dollars for the few minutes for the nurse practitioner. All right, and how much did the hospital charge for that little visit? Took minutes. Think you know? Give us a call, 888-874-4888. Next up, you want to have a real impact on the environment, a real one? Go vegan. I want to share something from Travis McKnight from The Guardian. Again, this is coming from England instead of any paper in the United States. Quote, between widespread economic disparities, population growth, unsustainable agriculture, and climate change, a study partially funded by NASA predicted that civilization as we know it could be steadily heading for a collapse. And the window to create impactful change is narrowing. So what do we do? Millennials represent $200 billion in economic worth. And if a statistical majority of our generation become vegetarians or vegans or at least eat significantly less meat than previous generations, we have a chance to have a real economic and thus environmental impact. And it went on to say that, quote, roughly 70 billion animals are raised for livestock for 7.1 billion people. In a study published in the proceedings of the National Academy of Science show that livestock production is among the most destructive forces driving climate change. It degrades air quality, pollutes waterways, and is the single largest use of land. Precisely how much livestock contributes to climate change remains up for debate. Studies show numbers ranging from 18%, that's UN Food Report, to 51% World Watch study. Most other studies fall somewhere in that range, but in each of them, the advice is the same. Humans need to eat less meat to curb climate change and resource scarcity. Raising animals to eat produces more greenhouse gases via methane and nitrous oxide than all the carbon dioxide excreted by automobiles, boats, planes, trains in the world combined. Over a 20-year period, methane has 86 times more climate change potential, that's 8,600%, than carbon dioxide. Nitrous oxide has 268 times more climate change potential. So yes, quitting meat can reduce your carbon footprint significantly more than quitting driving. And besides the methane and nitrous oxide released during livestock production, industrialized livestock contributes roughly 75% of deforestation to give animals grazing grounds and growing soybeans feedstock. So, that's it. Go vegan and help save the world. And for those who don't think the bees are important, okay. I have bees. I'm a certified organic farmer. I've been teaching organic farming for a long time. In fact, there at one time there was only two teaching farms in the United States. Mine, the Fertile Earth Farm upstate in Goshen, New York, actually north of there in Stone Ridge, a little tiny community, and Rodell's outstanding farm. He was such a good man. I really respected the father. I knew him, and I knew Robert Rodell. Met with him many, many times. And he was a meat eater, and I was a vegan, but so what? On everything else, we agreed. And I did not have the financial resources he had, but in thousands and thousands and thousands of people over the 15 years that I had the place came up in the summer, generally on the weekends, and learned all about farming and beekeeping and herbs. It was a wonderful experience. Bees are important for all the food we eat. We just don't realize it. So one of the reasons you should become involved in saying no to the neonicotinoid pesticides and yes to organic. Here's what we won't have if the bee colonies collapse. Apples, mangoes, kiwi, plums, peaches, nectarines, guava. By the way, I just picked a guava. I had a chance for 2 days, dropped by my home, went out into the garden, and there was some guava. I picked it, and my daughter took a picture, and I'm putting it up in the next hour on my Facebook page, show you a guava. Now, there are many different types of guava, and I have guava, honeydew, cantaloupe, watermelon, and jackfruit, and soursop. I have pictures of all these, so you can see them if you go to Facebook, and also post it on blog, GaryNell.com, because we should be growing more of our own food. But bees help that. Rose hips, pomegranates, pears, black and red currants, alfalfa, okra, strawberries, onions, cashews, prickly pears, apricots, allspice, avocados, passion fruit, lima beans, kidney beans, adzuki beans, green beans, custard apple, cherries, celery, walnuts, cotton, lychee, flaxseed, acerola, which is a source of vitamin C, macadamia nuts, sunflowers, goa beans, lemons, buckwheat, figs, fennel, limes, carrots, persimmons, loquats, durian, cucumber, hazelnut, cantaloupe, tangelos, coriander, caraway, chestnuts, watermelons, star fruits, coconuts, tangerines, boysenberries, star fruit, star apples also. I meant Brazil nuts, beets, mustard seeds, broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, bok choy, which is Chinese cabbage, turnips, Congo beans, sword beans, chili peppers, red peppers, bell peppers, green peppers, papaya, safflowers, sesame, eggplant, raspberries, elderberries, blackberries, clover, tamarind, coca, black-eyed peas, vanilla beans, cranberries, tomatoes, and grapes. So, the next time someone says, gee whiz, do we really need bees? Well, if you don't mind not having any of those foods available to eat, yeah, then we could do without the bees. But that's the key. And also, one of the ways that we could help reduce the water that we use, that's a big issue today, and this is from Medical News Today. Quote, reducing water by changing the diet. Eating less meat would protect water resources in dry areas around the world. Reducing the use of animal products can have a considerable impact on areas suffering from scarce water resources, as meat production requires more water than any other agricultural products. Quote, diet change together with actions such as reduction of food losses and waste may tackle the future challenges of food security. So, as our population grows, our water supplies shrink. Our demand for food increases. So it's time that we started paying careful attention to water conservation and moving to areas that are completely sustainable and going vegan. That would make the best sense. From Tom Hartman for our environmental segment today. By the way, we had Tim from New Jersey. Tim, you said $2,000. No. Anyone else want to guess? 888-874-4888. How much in this Bayonne hospital for a few minutes to put on a Band-Aid, no stitches, no x-rays, and a nurse practitioner take a look at it. They just put an ointment on it, Band-Aid. That's it. How much was he charged? Okay? 888-874-4888. Doomsday Trigger for Mega Drought by Tom Hartman. Quote, one of the worst North American droughts in history could be getting a whole lot worse. According to the latest U.S. Drought Monitor map, more than 58% of California is in an exceptional drought stage. That's a staggering 22% from last week's report. And in its latest drought report released early today, the National Drought Mitigation Center warned that, quote, bone-dry conditions are overtaking much of the Golden State, and noted that overall California is, quote, short more than 1 year's worth of reservoir water and 11.6 million acre-feet for this year alone, for this time of year. All across California, streams are drying up, crops are dying off, and local communities are struggling to maintain access to water, thanks to 3 years of persistent drought conditions. The situation is so dire that on Tuesday, California implemented statewide emergency water conservation measures in an effort to preserve what remains of the water there. Under the new measures, Californians could face fines of $500 a day for using hoses to clean sidewalks or to run decorative fountain or even water-guzzling activities. Unfortunately, while the situation in California is already pretty bleak, it looks like things are only going to get worse. In fact, it's possible that all of the American Southwest could soon be seeing the devastating drought conditions that California is facing. That's because the largest surge of heat ever recorded, ever, is moving west to east in the Pacific Ocean, often referred to as the Kelvin Wave, which was supposed to start an El Nino and bring tropical-like rains to the west coast and southwest. It just dissipated after it was absorbed by abnormally warm ocean waters. And El Nino is marked by the prolonged warming of ocean water surface temperatures when compared to the average temperature. El Ninos usually happen every 2 to 7 years and can last anywhere from between 9 months to 2 years. As warm water spreads from the Pacific and the Indian Ocean to the Eastern Pacific, it brings rain and moisture with it, bringing rain to California and the American Southwest. So during the El Nino period, winters are often a lot wetter than usual in the Southwest, including in Central and Southern California, which drought conditions are currently the worst. That's why Californians were hoping for a strong El Nino period to bring the rains and moisture that's needed to help ease the drought. Unfortunately, while some weather models are still predicting that El Nino is possible, the chances of an El Nino strong enough to break the devastating drought that California is now in are very, very slim. As a result, there's probably no end in sight to the current drought conditions in California. And since warm ocean waters that can bring rain are moving farther north to the up the Pacific, while Oregon and Washington, Alaska will get rain, the jet stream is set to extend drought over the rest of the Southwest. It could get so bad that there's now a very real possibility that devastating drought conditions will soon cover everywhere from Texas to California. End quote. Bruce from New Jersey, 8,500. Diane from Long Island, 8,200. Loretta from New York, 1,300. And Bob from New York, 9,000. Bob, you're right. It was $9,000 for the Bayonne Medical Center emergency room to put a Band-Aid on and a little cream on this guy's finger. Shame on them. That's what happens in our current everybody makes a profit medical industrial complex. $9,000 for no medical treatment, no stitches, no x-rays, nothing. In and out, a Band-Aid. So just remember that, people, the next time you think about, gee whiz, surely this couldn't be that much, and then you get hit with a bill, it is that much. Next up, since we're doing a lot of different topics today, this is about homelessness. And I'd like your feedback on this. Please, you can call me after this. It's short. It's from David Usborne, The Independent. U.S. cities crack down on homeless people and close to ethnic cleansing. Quote, his face risen with lines forged by years on the streets, Gil reached into the top pocket of his shirt and fished out a wedge of grimy papers. These are the precious records of his life, documents the rest of us keep in a filing cabinet at home. Eventually finds what he's looking for, a yellow slip that looks like a parking ticket. That, as it happens, is about right. Although Gil is not a man of many possessions and certainly not a car, he does, however, have a size 13 shoes. In his hands is a police citation written a few weeks ago when an officer found him sitting on the side of the road where his feet were touching the road. Quote, feet in roadway disturbing traffic, it read. This is Fort Lauderdale in Broward County between Miami and Palm Beach. And Gil's ticket, he gives his first name only, could be Exhibit A in what civil rights activists say is a creeping and insidious campaign by this and many other American cities to drive the homeless out of their midst by a combination of police harassment and increasingly draconian new ordinances that make being homeless a criminal offense. It is a charge the city vehemently denies, but so far this year it has passed two such laws, one making it illegal to urinate and anywhere if you're homeless, and another serving notice that any belongings left unattended on public property can be confiscated. More are pending, including one that would make it hard for charities to serve meals to the homeless in any form of public space. Quote, it's partly about the dollar, but it's also about the elitist mindset. The homeless are an embarrassment for the town, according to a 90-year-old former police chief from Pennsylvania and the director of Love Thy Neighbor, an organization that has been feeding homeless here for over 20 years. Five times the city has tried and failed in court to stop him from serving meals each Wednesday to the homeless. So, what does it say about us as a society when in over 160 communities in the United States, if you were poor, you're now going to be criminalized, you're going to be ostracized, the police can beat you, they can taser you, they can arrest you, they are arresting people, you have no money. And now how are you going to get out of jail? You are permanently indentured by for-profit prison system. What does it say about we the people? I'd like to hear your thoughts. My thoughts you'll see in the hardest-hitting documentary I've ever done in my life on Poverty Inc. And I take no prisoners with this. I mean, I just tell the truth. You'll see it. You will not feel good about seeing it when you come out of the theater, but it's time people saw what we are doing to each other, including religious groups, including the police. That we can expect, because we've militarized the police, we've desensitized them what it means to be a human being at the other end of their beatdown or their killing. They'll do what they want, whenever they want, because they know they can get away with it. But what does it say about us? What does it say about our neighborhood that we don't want a homeless person in? Give me your thoughts, please. 888-874-4888. Your turn. It's Talk Back Time. I'm Gary Nall. Before we go to any more, I think I've given a whole lot today. I want to share a little piece, and this is a piece about water from a news station in Colorado. Here's what they have to say.
In the drought-stricken West, and researchers at NASA and the University of California, Irvine, say what they're finding is shocking. As Terry Okita reports, not only are reservoirs running low, but underground resources are depleting at an alarming rate.
One look at the white ring where water levels used to rise at Lake Mead Reservoir, it's clear the Colorado River Basin is drying up. But NASA scientist Jay Famlietti says what you don't see underground is even more unnerving.
During these periods of drought, we really hit that groundwater supply really hard. It gets significantly depleted.
The Colorado River Basin is considered a lifeline to 7 western states, providing water to 40 million people and 4 million acres of farmland. Researchers say it's lost almost 13 trillion gallons of underground water in less than a decade.
Is there a chance that we could see this underground water completely depleted? Will it come
absolutely.
Back?
Absolutely. It took thousands, millions of years to fill up those aquifers in the first place, and we are depleting them in decades.
Across drought-stricken California, water shortages are taking their toll. Fresno resident Carlin Overby's well ran dry a month ago.
When you get up in the morning and you turn that faucet on, you always wonder if water is going to come out.
Water rationing has forced desperate residents to lay artificial turf or paint their dry brown lawns green. It's become a booming business for Carrie McCoy.
As soon as the water sanctions hit and as soon as people find their water bills rising and rising, they're looking for ways to cut back on their expenses, and that's when they start calling.
Without significant rainfall and rationing, researchers say the demand for water will soon outpace the supply that sits both above and below ground. For CBS This Morning Saturday, Terry Okita, Los Angeles.
I'm going to take some calls in a moment, but I wanted to just take a moment for a special here. We haven't offered this in a long time, and it's a very good special. It's normally $140. We're offering it for $97.99, and that's our Supreme Health Formula. This is for people who would like to get all their nutrients in one simple tablet, or one serving of a tablet. You can throw them all in the blender. That's an easy way if you don't like taking tablets. But here's what you're getting. And I know of no other supplement in the world by any manufacturer who puts them all in. You're getting vitamin A and vitamin C. You're getting 1,200 milligrams of vitamin C in a single serving, including the fat-soluble ascorbyl palmitate and calcium ascorbate and magnesium ascorbate. You're getting vitamin D3 and vitamin E at amount that you really need, like 500 units, and vitamin B1, 75 milligrams, B2, 50, vitamin B3, vitamin B6, 100 milligrams. One of the most important nutrients you can put is vitamin B6, folic acid, 800 micrograms. That's the amount you need, not the 50 micrograms that many tablets have. Parapaba mushroom complex with reishi, hijiki, and maitake mushrooms, milk thistle, bilberry, lycopene, grapeseed extract, coenzyme Q10, quercetin, ginkgo, broccoli, acerola berry, hesperidin, glutathione, linoleic acid, ginger, DHA, superoxide dismutase, and then the superstars like B12 and biotin and calcium and magnesium and iodine and manganese, selenium and chromium, molybdenum, potassium, and then alpha-lipoic acid, trimethylglycine, the absolute superstars, phosphatidylserine, isoflavonegenistein, inositol, lutein, citrus bioflavonoids, MSM, L-taurine, NAC, N-acetylcysteine, L-lysine, ornithine alpha acid, choline bitartrate, phosphatidylcholine, acetyl-L-carnitine, and bromelain. There's nothing like this in the world. You talk about having everything that your body could possibly benefit from in amounts that I believe the most important you could get. This is it. So this is called Supreme Health Formula. 300 tablets on sale at a tremendous discount, $97.99. Give a call, 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Or drop by our vitamin closet any day between noon and 7, and you can pick them up there. Tim from New Jersey. Tim, your turn.
Oh, hi, Gary. You know, about many years ago, I was working in Morristown at a place, and I used to go out in the woods and walk around during my lunch break. And one day, there was a guy living in a refrigerator box out in the woods, and I was just astonished. And I said, "Can I get you anything?" And I brought him some hot tea. And it just blew my mind that somebody was in that kind of situation. I think that every one of these people that doesn't have a form of shelter should be provided with it by our government and by our taxpayer dollars.
I agree with that, but here is what the argument is going to be. You're going to have the elements, the corporate elements that say, we can't be giving money to homeless people. They're lazy. They don't want to work. This is their way of getting into the welfare system. Let them pull themselves up. Bill O'Reilly did. Sean Hannity did. Glenn Beck did. Why can't they? That's their argument. Also, we cannot give $1.5 trillion a year to the military-industrial spy complex if we're giving it out to people who, you know, like the 18 million hungry children, to the 20 million people who've lost their homes. There's 5 million homes lost, and that's 4 people per home. That's 20 million Americans. We can't help the students. You know, they took the loans out. Let them pay them. We don't have the money, because once we start bailing out the homeless, then we got to worry about all these other people. Do you understand what argument they're going to throw back at you? Tim?
I don't think it's very well-founded.
It's not well-founded. It's stupid.
I don't think it's a humanistic response on their part.
When was the last time we voted into office a humanistic, spiritually inclined person who was there constantly to seek how to address the needs of the people, not the corporate interest?
Well, I know I voted for Ralph Nader and Rocky Anderson. I was hoping that a lot more people would.
You and I both, but unfortunately the Democrats are not that enlightened yet.
Yeah.
Right? They threw him under the bus, didn't they? Think of what they did. Think of the shame of what they did. Think of the hubris and arrogance and conceit when Bill Maher got down on his knees with Michael Moore and beg Ralph Nader not to run, you know, that you would, you know, cause the Republicans to win. That is unfortunately the mindset of people who think they actually know people in the body politic. They don't. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe on this one, Jim, I just missed it, in which case I want you to call me out on it. If Ralph Nader was elected, and I voted for Ralph both times, then would we be in a war in Iraq? Would we have gone in Afghanistan? Would we have caused Libya to disintegrate by supporting the sectarian violence and arming the militias? Would we have spent money in Africa? Would we have passed treaties? Would we have the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Atlantic Partnership treaties? Would we have allowed banks too big to fail to continue to take $20 trillion? Would we have criminalized people for possession of marijuana and put people who did nothing wrong in jail because of our association with private prisons? Would we have continued the war on terror? Would we have continued the war on drugs? Would we have reapproached the war on poverty? Would we have allowed Alex and the state legislatures to override all of the laws that protect the citizens? Because if Ralph Nader was elected, that's exactly what he would have caused to have happened. He would have drawn us out of these international treaties. He would have protected the American worker. He would have stopped the offshoring of jobs, because if someone decided to offshore a job, that person would no longer be subject to any grants or tax easements or any advantage in the U.S. government. That's what we got because we didn't vote for Ralph Nader. Now, let those people who think they actually have an understanding of the body politic and people's needs, have them respond to that. Okay, Tim? All the best to you. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. We're out of time. I want to thank you all for taking your time to listen, and I look forward to sharing more on tomorrow's program. Have a nice day, everyone. Let's say hello to Utrice Lead. Hi, Utrice.
Hello, Gary. Getting feedback. Today we're talking about SCADs, State Crimes Against Democracy, that is, criminality by the political elite.
We look forward to it. Utrice Lead right now.